This is the regular meeting of the Improvements Committee for November. We've called to order. We start with the Improvements Staff Report.
Yeah, we're right.
Water Agency set study for supplemental water supply. Who's got that?
So the district received a request to direct $30,000 of water supply augmentation reserve funds to a formal analysis of the viability of a connection to Sacramento County Water Agency to Rancho Marietta to provide additional source of water for the community. The district is approaching 3,000 water connections and currently only has one source of water supply. The district's water right allows for both direct diversion of water and storage of water in three reservoirs. For the safety, security, and reliability of potable drinking water, California requires two sources of water for districts under 3,000 connections. So there is SB 552, which is the requirements by 2027 that districts under 3,000 connections have two supplies of water, so an emergency or even a primary and a secondary. So the proposal from staff is that we propose that the district move forward with a water modeling study to be conducted by the Sacramento County Water Agency as a possibility of an alternative source of treated drinking water. The estimated full cost of that is $30,000, and the funding we've already talked about where that would come from.
Have we talked to the county about this? I know there were some emails or something. Where are we at with the county?
I have not talked to the county. I did receive a phone call from the county saying we will not provide any additional information to anyone in the community until the district actually makes a formal request for that. But I had that conversation way before the request for using this money came in. So I haven't circled back to them about
that. They're going to require some kind of a contract that we sign with them that allows them to proceed with some kind of study and spend the money and put some in a deposit. Is this a proposal to recommend to the board where this will be an agenda item on the board that will be voted on?
Yes. I don't have the staff report, but I believe that we received this proposal, and the proposal included the request that the idea be evaluated in this committee and then also brought to the board for action.
It's just to have the modeling and the study itself done. It's not to make any connection design or preliminary.
Sure. Marty?
I understand there's a need for water augmentation, but there are other alternatives out there for water augmentation, and I don't think you ought to do them separately. I think the board has to decide which one they're going to go after. It may be this one, maybe other ones, and then make some sort of contract with the the county if that's the direction the board wants to go. But there's lots of competing alternatives for new water.
I would think at this stage there would be no contract other than to complete the study.
No, but you might want to use that $33,000 for some other project that gives you more water. And I don't think you can do it just one at a time. Go after this one and go after. I think you need to decide which one you're going to go after that has the most feasibility. And then do a study to see if that's a real feasible alternative.
I think I disagree with that. I don't know how you decide what's the best option to go after unless you have all the facts in front of you. And how do you have all the facts in front of you unless you start pursuing some of this stuff and get into the nuts and bolts of of how this is going to happen and what it's going to cost, and that's the $30,000 is to find out if it is feasible and how much it would cost.
Yeah, but you have that same issue with the other,
sure, and
other
I think
ones on the table.
And I think we ought to be pursuing all of those, too.
I don't know if you can pursue all of them. That's what I'm trying to say. You can't pursue all of them at one time because you're going to run out of money. Because, say, for instance, a well, you have to commission somebody to say, to go deeper into that well alternative and see if that's feasible. But so I don't know if you got the money to pursue all of them.
I would say from an operational standpoint, and having run large entities for quite a long time, that from a risk and resiliency standpoint, I look at water as almost like investment, right? Mm-hmm. And a diversification of funds gives you long-term safety and security. The district currently only has one primary source of water and having storage, but that does pose a significant risk if there is ever an event on the river or that treatment facility. So I do think, you know, with this cost and it being somewhat of a low cost item to at least have the study prepared, it gets us a little further step forward in that risk and resiliency where we feel that we have safety and security with our water supply. This is a finished treated water source, and it's very common for entities to have a multiple emergency connection type setup.
No doubt, but what if you did cost estimate, what would it cost you to bring a pipe from there to here? And if you did that, you may say, well, that's way out of the ballgame.
I've had some entities where we have pipeline, so I know kind of in my head where that looks like it's probably going to be. I don't want to throw out any numbers because it is large. But
is it more than $10 million?
Oh yeah. Okay.
So,
but from my standpoint, and from an operational functionality and a risk and resiliency standpoint, I start to look at those alternatives, and at least by paying $30,000, now I've gotten closer to seeing my options.
But you're not going to get a cost to run a pipeline and all the associated costs from them.
Right. Setting up a contract and purchasing it. I know I've been involved in some of those contracts, and it is not. It would outweigh some of the other options that are currently available to the district, but so far there hasn't seemed to be a lot of instruction on going even after some of those. So that's kind of what this is.
So we need to pursue every possibility of finding it. It has to be the board's number one priority to find more water. Where do we start if we don't start looking somewhere? We're at least starting somewhere, and I would hope that you're thinking about or even starting to formalize some other options that we can look at and talk about costs of what it's going to cost, be that drilling some more test wells or whatever. I hope you're headed down that road.
Yes. Yeah, so looking at it, commonly in the state of California, it's termed conjunctive use. And looking at the water right, there's some options to possibly offset that. I'm not huge into selling any water right, but I am also into groundwater banking and looking at water wheeling and options where we may be able to sell off in wet years some of not the water right, but the water itself into other agencies who need that water. And so I think a lot of that can offset the long-term expenditure of capital and getting some of these things done. But I think from a resiliency standpoint to the community, these options have to be paramount because there is coming a time when there's going to be some very difficult situations. And pushing those decisions further and further down the road only makes them more and more expensive. Especially from construction and infrastructure costs. It's a good idea, and people are very concerned over cost, but we also have to be concerned about that resiliency and what we deliver. I think the first time we have a large possible water outage, people will be unpleasantly surprised what that looks like.
Well, I think I think we not only ought to spend this to get that study started, to take a look at what, yeah, it's over $3 million. What are the other options?
And I don't know, but we got some costs.
And we won't know until we start studying those options, and those are costs that we're going to spend to.
But the Integrated Water Master Plan has costs for the ones that they propose, right?
Typically, we budgeted $5 million a well. That was kind of the cost to drill a well and put the appurtenances there without really even large treatment to facilitate tying it into the system, and that was kind of a normal number that was tossed around.
So three wells is $15 million. How does that compare to this if we don't know what this costs?
And this was not included as one of the options in the IWMP. I think that's kind of one of the issues, too. And there's another proposal. Eric talked about groundwater recharge, but just like a month or so ago, Director Butler and I were in a meeting of the Slough House Resource District, and they were saying, give us your excess, and then we'll give it back to you when you need it. And so that was also another concept that wasn't captured in the IWMP, you know. So I do think it is a situation where looking at all the alternatives is responsible.
Can I ask a question? Since this is already treated water, is there going to be a limit of how much water? I mean, and if we want to put our name on the list to have some of that water, do we need to put our name on the list now before everybody else says, we'll take it?
That's true, and I also think that since it's treated water, that there's some cost savings to us, that this water doesn't have to run through our system and cost us expansion of the water plants and the amount of cost it is to run the water through the plant. So, question, Mimi. It sounds like we're split on this.
This may be a viable alternative, but I think it needs to be weighed in with respect to the other ones that are on the table, right? You might say this is the best thing going, and then you should pursue it. But I don't know, the other ones have been weighed. Because you're going to have limited money to spend on all these studies. A well study is going to be expensive, but a convention may have some costs associated. Ground recharge is going to have costs associated.
And we're looking at what we're going to change the augmentation fee to the developers. Mm-hmm. And this will all be part of that study. If we have to do numerous studies, it seems to me it's a developer fee that's going to cover all this, and what that development fee is yet to be determined.
But I understand
what you're saying, and I don't agree with it, but what you're saying makes sense. So my question is, do we take this to the board and say the improvements committee is split on this and leave it up to a board vote whether or not we go forward on this?
$33,000 is not going to break. $30,000 is not going to break our budget, but it's just the process should get started. And if this is the one that has the most
legs,
I would agree with it. But I don't have any problem having the board decide whether or not this is the way to go down, what path it should go down.
Yeah, and this isn't going to be from our budget proper, like not our operational budget, because this is, it would be an expense that would be part of the water supply augmentation fund, which has,
and there's some money in there,
about $2.5 million. So $30,000 is, you know, very tiny in that, and then if the fees go up, then that that pot of money would, you know, grow. So
there hasn't been much discussion yet about which alternative to go down.
Yeah.
It seems like all of them need to be weighed before you decide which one you're going to go down.
I agree with that. And I think that what you have here is another option, along with kind of the slough house groundwater one, where they were kind of in the, they weren't considered, they're not in the main report, mm-hmm. right? And of the main report options, we talked about $5 million a well, maybe $15 million there. But Clementia has always been what I've heard the consultants talk about as the most cost-effective option for the community in terms of what it would cost to pivot on that to make that water available in an emergency. Like, you're talking really low dollars compared to $15 million or whatever. But I think that you can't do a financial comparison on this, on all of them, without knowing, well, is this one even possible from a modeling study, right? We've had somebody have conversations with a governmental entity, and they said, well, you know, this is what we do, and if you want us to give you a formal assessment of, like, how many miles we have to go and what it would cost, then we need to have...
I thought this, when I read it, it said they're only looking at the feasibility of delivering so much water through the pipeline they got available.
I think what's happening, and
is that wrong?
I may be wrong, I thought that the county is just moving, like, east, and they'll get to Grantline very soon, and then they'll be able to connect to this community. You know, after.
But it's a function of the pipes that are in the ground already.
Yeah, they're going to model that, so it would show the feasibility of being able to deliver that amount of water, that volume, through their pipe.
But they're not going to talk to us or give us any more information until they get the go-ahead and a check. So I think the only thing we're disagreeing on is do we analyze and go forward on a certain way of going before we spend the money to study it, or after it? We don't have enough information to decide whether or not this is feasible or not without doing a study.
This 30 yeah. grand is not going to give us costs to bring the water
line out
here. It's only going to see whether or not the pipes that they got can deliver us the water we need.
Yeah. I think also
my understanding is that they're going to give us some kind of estimate.
Mm-hmm. I got an estimate when I got the initial call, in ballpark, like 12 to 15. So, you know, that's kind of in the range of the wells or whatever. I mean, it all feels mm-hmm. kind of like make-believe money, but that, I think, is the ballpark that they probably just threw out there, you know.
I read in the Business Journal, it was actually yesterday, that Brandon and Bartus has turned in a plan to the county for 5,000 homes at the corner of Grantline and Jackson. Mm-hmm. So this is not like pie in the sky stuff. It's they're moving this way.
And then they would have the availability for us to have water.
That's what they're going to tell us.
The county has a water right up to about 100 million gallons a day. They're also largely partnered with a very large entity, East Bay Mud. And so that water right is pretty solidified, and the infrastructure that they have is pretty well done. It would come down to contractually how much you're paying and buying into. And how you do that actually would become something after the study, whether it just be an emergency service connection that we use intermittently, or whether it be a complete supply that we use commonly, I guess the best way to put it. So I think
we
this kind of gives
decide
us
that
idea.
There's enough. Well, we're speculating now. What we need is the study done to see how much water there will be. Is it enough water for us to shut down our treatment plant? We need to find out.
Okay.
So, can we Can you just move, let's move this to the board and
let
the board decide it?
I think this is weighty enough that the whole board needs to weigh in on it.
Okay. I'll add this to the agenda for the November meeting. Thank you.
Okay.
So the second item.
Do we get discussion time?
Yeah, sorry about
that. Yeah.
Can I just sit and talk?
Just sit and talk. Oh, no, actually, Bob, if it's, well.
Stand up to the podium.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that I can get you on my recorder, so I'll bring it closer to you.
I'll come over here and jump. I'm sitting over here.
Okay, sure. Thank you so much.
So, I'm the one that initially reached out to the Water District. The Water District originally said that they're going to be extending the services out to Grantline at some point, and that there was reimbursable, if a developer wanted to bring the line down Sunrise to Grantline, that that would be reimbursable expense to the new developer that went in. The idea at the time was not involving CSD, so that we could go out and find out and do the study and find it out. Just for this kind of a reason, we've paid into the augmentation, the developers have paid into the augmentation specifically for this. It's the only reason the money's there. It would be inconceivable that the district wouldn't direct money that they've collected to try to find out exactly what it would take to get water out here, no matter how much it costs. Because it's not, the cost is inconsequential if somebody's willing to pay for it. So having the information is really the value. It doesn't take any of the CSD's resources in order to do it, so it's not like we're pulling anybody off of their jobs in order to get the information. The district would be doing it themselves. And if it's a money issue, really, this started with just getting permission that CSD needs to give the Water District permission to talk to somebody. I'd prefer it be done through CSD with water augmentation funds, but if it's the money that's stopping everything, which I don't know why it would, then wouldn't everybody want to know whether we could get water from the water agency down the street to protect Rancho Murrieta forever? I mean, I don't understand even the rationale that why there would even be a hesitation. We just authorized $50,000 for a study of two water tanks on site. This is nothing compared to that and what that would solve. So I would rather see the committee enthusiastically recommend to the board that we go down this road, because without this information, we're just shooting in the dark. That's all I've got.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Merchant has a comment as well.
Do you want? Where's
I just. I just.
Oh, is that close enough?
That's a great question.
A couple. I don't think it's necessary just on the front end of this to spend $30,000 to understand the appropriate of water right. And I guess this is, if this is Anatolia water, maybe it's coming out of the river, maybe it's confined to a right that is within their district, which we are not. Maybe it's confined to an area that's inside the urban services boundary, which stops at Grantline, which we're not in. It's not consistent with our master plan, which really shows us as a self-contained community. And before we went down the road of having to spend $30,000 for somebody to tell us, well, maybe we don't have an appropriative right to give you the water, you know, I think it's an easy enough part of the process to understand before we go any further. The other part that I hadn't heard before, inconsistent with the meeting that they had with the Groundwater Authority, and we've had these discussions with the Ochi guys down the river before about you know, pooling water, storing water underground. One thing that we can't do, and I'm reasonably sure you'll find this out, we have a permit, not a license. okay, we have a permit for 6,300 acre feet of water. They're going to take part of that water back when we're finished. And that is specifically designed that way. I could put you in touch with the guy at the county whose job is to do that. But that water on that permit probably is not ours to give away. If you want to put it in the ground and augment it, you might be able to get away with that, but you're certainly not going to get away with selling it. Because technically they gave us that water in front of understanding how much water at build out for 5,000 units the community was going to really need. That's all I have at this point.
Thank you. And if you have any more public comments, wave them at me, pass them to me, let me know, okay, guys? Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to technical review of the water master plan.
Very good.
So at the board meeting, we received direction to kind of have a technical review and to create a list of people who facilitate that and are vendors for that. And so this is the prepared list. What I did was basically go online and look at entities that are close to us that have done urban water management plans recently. Urban water management plans are very close to this IWMP. And so this is the list that I prepared. What I was preparing this for is to see if there's direction to go after one preferred entity or if we want to put it out to a couple different vendors or contractors to do this type of work. I'm very familiar with West Yost. I've done quite a bit of work with them. Corolla was another large firm that I've done some work with. And the other entities are also pretty large in size and typically have really good people doing this work that they do this with. And so you can see the options there, and I was just kind of curious to put it out for discussion to see which direction do we want to go. Do we want to look directly for one firm, or do we want to go after a couple to elicit proposals?
What's the policy, Nini, for an RFP? Do we have to go out to the, can we go to preferred vendors, or do we have to go out to the field, or how's that?
Well, I haven't looked at our specific procurement policy, but you know, the quote that we had received from I'm sorry, I forget the name of the company that Merchant had an objection to just now. Oh, Wagner and Bonsignore.
Right.
Their quote was only $15,000. And
yeah,
so
did,
I think if
they
there's...
They did the initial report. They're going to be criticizing Merchant work.
They provided analysis on the water rights only. So I think the dollar amount is a factor. Traditionally, if you have a lower dollar amount, you can do sort of informal bid collection, where you can call up people and explain to them what the need is, and then ask them to give you back a response, and then do a comparative in that manner. It's quicker than going out with an RFP, which requires a lot of preparation on the part of the firms. And I know Director-elect Merchant did send an email to me suggesting that a firm in Folsom that had helped out with them was probably going to have a price tag of at least $200,000. So I think there's probably some variability there. But I would recommend an informal, statement and document of what we're looking for, and then just call them up and ask them just to move things along. And you know, I think that's
Eric,
approach.
Sound reasonable?
Yeah, sounds good to me. A lot of agencies do this type of work. The review shouldn't be as much as a full scale like UWMP would be. So that's very reasonable to look out to a couple vendors who do that type of work.
Marty,
I don't think you can get a review for $15,000 that's worth anything.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right to me.
The list that you have is not that far off from the list we had, I don't know, 2 years ago. There were other ones on there, Keller, Black and Beach.
I said this, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard the name Black and Beach. Yeah, some large entities do this quite a bit, and I can reach out to a couple and see, get some cost estimates and then bring it back.
I think the hardest part is to get somebody to do it in a timely fashion. And So that's what I think, making phone calls to maybe the top two that you think you should go after and get a price. And because when we were doing this in the beginning, it was hard to find somebody who could think about it. So the idea of making phone calls is to find somebody who's willing and able is a good idea.
Okay. Marching orders?
Yeah.
Mr. Merchant has a question.
Just a point of information. Yost did a peer review on our 2010 Integrated Water Master Plan. They did it through the county. It was Don Natoli who, on our behalf, got a peer review. The cost was $200,000. Just for information.
Okay.
That was the cost.
Clementia Reservoir.
So, there's been a lot of discussion about Clementia Reservoir looking into possibly getting it permitted for drinking water rights use. So I wanted to prepare just kind of a little bit for the board to be able to look at that and what it actually entails. Doing a little bit of research, most of the California, so there's like three entities that have rules about this. State Water Resources Control Board, of course, is the one who permits us for drinking water rights. There's also the California Health and Safety Code. A lot of this looks like it really came from a time when water treatment didn't have a lot of regulations proposed to it, and primarily in disinfection. And so there are rules now in drinking water for the long-term enhanced surface water rule. And there's been revisions to that. But there are requirements for disinfection on all water. And also all water is now filtered, which typically that used to not be common practice. A lot of times water was taken directly out of reservoirs, chlorinated, and sent directly to homes. But there is a process to getting it permitted for drinking water rights, and it should be here in our supplied materials.
So let me page get 24. Yep. Almost to the end, and there's a link there to the whole document, the 300-page document.
Yes, so this is found in Title 17 and Title 22, and so you can go in and put in a permit for use for domestic water supply usage of a reservoir. There is quite a few state reservoirs that are already used for this purpose, not just the ones that have already received or gone through the legislative process, but all of the ones that are part of the state central Valley Water Project, they're also permitted for this use. We've started some conversations with Regional Water Authority to determine whether or not that would be an avenue to be helpful to us to facilitate some of that at the state level, those conversations. But there is an application for that permit. And then there is some extensive studies that would need to be done as part of that permit. And so part of what we're hoping is in that conversation with the state that some of this can be relaxed or even modified by conversations with the state entities themselves, having conversations and realizing that a lot of usage has been updated. I know Clementia also takes in quite a bit of surface runoff, and there is concern over that. I do know that our water right is not being even close to fully used, and that we could flush that during times by using some of that water to push out the runoff during that time. Also, I know that the treatment at the plant itself is designed to be able to handle quite a large amount of surface water runoff. Membranes have a high log removal, so there's not a real impact to the community. But this is another avenue to look at for water use, and so it is kind of the direction that we're hoping to continue working on this path to look at what it takes to get it permitted for a drinking water use, whether or not that be an emergency declaration or whether it be a long-term, all-the-time type scenario where we could use it when we need to but don't always have to, in other words. And so that's what this process is. It's just to kind of have that discussion and let people be aware of what those requirements look like for that. So some of it has to do with you have to monitor the reservoir, you have to do inspections of the reservoir with staff, there has to be a designated outlet, and that has to be protected and guarded off as part of this. But all of the process is spelled out there so that we can talk about it.
Yeah, I read through this. None of it seems total real onerous, but I did... It does kind of jump off the page here that it says that their final decision after receipt of the application is supposed to be... I forget where it was, but the actual median time for response was 7.5 months. 90 calendar days. But they don't, they're supposed to do it 90 calendar days, but okay, here's what it really is. It's just typical state bureaucracy thing. It just drives me nuts.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is to allow public comment and see to what level that rises, the level of concern. I think any more, honestly, from a drinking water treatment standpoint, in my mind, this is almost like a no-brainer because water's taken directly out of rivers, which have massive amounts of surface runoff, as well as sometimes raw sewage spill events, chemical events. And so some of those ideas are almost, I'll say it, archaic. In the sense that most of this, I think, was driven from like the 1940s and 50s from the health code perspective, and those entities really haven't been brought together to understand that there's a lot of other practices and regulations now in place to protect the health and safety.
Marty?
I understand what you're asking. You're asking to start the process?
Yeah.
For the
permit? And probably to start just even having the conversations and make the board aware, and so that way it's just to have conversational piece on what are the actual requirements that are set forth. There is a legislative process, and so some of it is to determine, you know, we have to start down both paths and hope one works out, but I think it behooves us to start moving, just like we're looking at for water augmentation. It behooves us to look at all options available and move forward with that direction. But it is to kind of keep the board aligned with that and aware of it as well.
Do you need direction from us, or is it obvious that we need to just go forward?
Well, I think this was mostly informational, but I think it's important to know the legislative cycle on this. And if we wanted to suggest a piece of legislation to give us this kind of authority, it's too close to January now to do it January 25, so we'd really be looking at, you know, January 26, and there's a lot of preparation that would need to occur in the next 12 months to be in a position to be able to get somebody to sponsor the legislation, and that would include figuring out, you know, what the water treatment requirements are given the percentage of runoff and raw water in there, and evaluating the conduit between Clementia and the water treatment plant. So I think there's, you know, there will be some decisions potentially at a financial level that's beyond the GM's authority, where, you know, the board would have to say, yeah, we do want to consider this. We're, you know, considering all the options. And Clementia is definitely like the bargain basement approach to improving the resiliency of the district's water system.
What about the application side of it? There's reports that would need to be authorized and paid for.
Correct.
So we need to start down that path and figure out what's needed and take it to the board for authorization.
Exactly. Spend the money. Yeah, and I think some of that honestly is going to be what you would do as a normal surface water or even reservoir water assessment. It's called classifying and binning. It takes a look at microbial contamination and quantifies it. And some of that needs to probably start taking place just from a data standpoint so that we can make informed decisions, and also for the permitting process.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with starting the conversation.
Of course, starting the process and figuring out what's needed, taking this to the board, and getting the start the process.
So I'll add this to the board meeting on November 20th.
Yeah, I think that would give staff the green light.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Any public comments?
Okay with that?
Yes.
No comments? Okay. Thank you.
So we are on 20. To the Water Smart 20. Grant Opportunity.
Do you want to kick this one or you want me to run?
I'll just say that I had a conversation this morning with a representative from the financial side of the Water Smart Grant program about our eligibility, and we do have a couple of black marks as a result of not having closed our financial records and missing annual audits. So I wanted to find out from her, it's a woman, the representative, whether that was a deal breaker for us. And she indicated that we could put in a note and explain what our corrective actions were, and it's pretty much a 6-month process before we get to an award. And so she felt that we could explain it and demonstrate, you know, good faith in our efforts to get the district back on track, and then at the time of an award they would assess where we were at. So I just want to put that out there as a caveat. This is a, she also said it's a fabulous thing to be pursuing this money to help you out and to getting back on top of your finances. So I think it's a really important program. There's a lot of federal money that comes through for these Water Smart grants. They were, you know, over the last 10 years used to just install meters in communities. And what we're proposing is three different levels of programming, one of which is the leak detection smart meters.
Okay.
That would help to avoid, eliminate the loss of treated water, which, you know, in my short time in the water world, the water is like gold, and it has to be treated carefully. That's my my estimation of it. And then they have some other opportunities or other project areas that are allowable for funding as well. And so those include more energy efficiency, and I'll let Eric talk about those things. But I do think that they are, you know, it's free money, and it's up to 50% of whatever the cost is. And for all the general managers that I've spoken to throughout the nation who've converted to the smart meter with leak detection, they said they recovered their investment within less than 3 years. So, you know, it's to me it seems like a very viable approach. And Eric, do you want to talk about some of the other aspects?
So on our side, SCADA improvement, kind of for the reservoir efficiency and management, part of our water right accounts for seepage as well as evaporation. We don't have some of the infrastructure that necessarily would require that, but in this, if we're granted and also cost sharing, we would be able to do that and also look at some alternative possible measures of even pumping or putting the seepage that's now collected in spots back into the reservoir, and then also look at groundwater banking, because those reservoirs do lose water into the ground, and that is part of groundwater banking, is accounting for that water, but also then being able to divert to make up for that loss without having some of this infrastructure. Currently, we don't have as well of a operational efficiency to do that, but being able to move forward and do some of these requires resolutions from the board as an avenue for us to go after them. We can't put in an application really without a resolution. They want to see that we have the through for all to see it through, and also have the infrastructure in place to make it a real project. They've gotten a little harder about just giving out money without the capability of really getting any of that project completed, and they really want to see that the projects are done quickly in a timely manner. And so some of these are up and coming and they have timelines associated with them, but I think it would be a great thing for the district to go after as much as they can to really solidify and make the water system and the sewer system as robust and resilient as possible.
looks great. I've just seen some of the categories of water strategy grants and ecosystem restoration, water resources, watershed management. I mean, this is all stuff that we just do, and we never think there would be grants out there to help us out with so on. I would only say that if you're going to bring something to the board as far as a resolution, we'll get Patrick involved, right?
A lot of times they have a sample resolution that we just put our name on the top of, and then that's how it was for FEMA with all their resolutions.
Okay. Yeah, free money is always good.
Okay. So then I'll put this on the agenda for the November 20th meeting.
Very good. Murrieta Village Water Sewer Connection Line Preliminary Design.
So this is just informational to let you know where we're at in the process, just for discussion. We've reached out to Dominic Kelly to start that process and to start a cost estimate. Some money was set aside. I want to make sure that we're within that. I believe last time, I think at the board, it was kind of their direction. They had kind of an estimate proposal, and so I've reached out for them to get a cost estimate back for what it would take to do preliminary design. They're in the process of preparing that and then sending me that, and then I would, once that information is available, we'll make it available to the committee and to the board. Okay. That's where we're at in that process right now.
So did you give him a scope of work?
He was at the meeting, so I think he's somewhat aware of what we're looking for. I gave him a quick blurb on what we're looking at, but it is to run water and sewer as a preliminary design in the roadways and to remove, we'll say, the transmission pieces that go through the private properties and for them to be abandoned in place.
I understand that, but is he going to give us a cost estimate after the end of the preliminary design?
Prior to. So I've just put in a request just to
No, no, that's a fee. If he does
the actual work,
a projected cost for the construction.
Yeah. Yes, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, that will be included as part of that.
And so I would envision that he comes up with a map and shows which is going to abandon and what's going to get put in new, just lay it on the ground and show where it's going to be, and then tell us what the cost would be to construct it.
And it might be, there had been discussion at the last meeting to have it in phases. And so we could ask him to schedule that out for us.
Yeah, he could draw a line on the map that says that we're going to do this 1, 2, 3, 4, or whatever.
Yeah, or take the total and say we're going to do it in 5 phases, divide the total into 5. And that's good, probably close enough for planning to figure out how many phases we're going to do.
So I would think there's going to be a fair amount of investigative work to figure out where the connection points are going to be. So there's going to be a fair amount of time on the ground to say, you got to go out and look and see where would we put that tap.
Yeah. So definitely they'll be working with Ron and myself and going out and taking a look to see all that. It hasn't started yet. Yeah. We do have some old drawings, but we're going to make sure that we need to verify those and then also to look at the alignments, because it is going to be... because water and sewer usually are to be kept, so that's going to be a little more difficult part of the actual design is aligning those so that they keep their distances from each other.
I think there's going to be a big financial impact to the residents over there once we do this, and that's being the connection from the meter to the house and from the cleanup that we put there to the house. I think he ought to be telling us what those unit costs would be so people know what they're in for. But when they say yes, they're going to say it's going to be an impact.
And he and I had a fairly long conversation about that, and he had some ideas about how other communities have handled that infrastructure expense on the homeowner side, mm-hmm. and you know, different scenarios about sort of amortizing the expense, like maybe the district covers it and then we bill them out over 3 to 5 years or something in order to assist them, and then that obligation could stay with the home.
Yeah, because unless we have that component of it, people aren't going to know what they're in for.
No, and I think it makes it much easier for the district to work with one vendor as opposed to 200 vendors. Like if they were all directed to go out and get their own and then try to explain like what they're trying to do, we could end up with a huge problem in terms of how to how to manage all of those different vendors and different approaches. And so this would give us a little bit more control and then help us to help them to actually finance it.
But when's Joe going to give us that?
I think he had to go on a much-needed vacation. And so I think he's planning on, you know, in the next month or so. I
good. Great.
So this will be an agenda on next month's committee meeting.
I understand.
Yeah. If not at the board meeting, I haven't. I think you've had most recent conversations with him, but I don't know what his timeline is.
Okay.
He's in Hawaii right now.
We're good.
Fish tacos and margaritas.
So you want to bring this back to improvements in December? Okay.
Yes, ma'am. One question, comment. I think it might be a good idea to do some outreach over there in front of beginning the conversation so they really understand as a group what their problem is and, like Marty said, potentially understand what the impact is going to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it... it goes backwards if the conversation starts at the board and Richard goes back on his own because he's the only one that attends the meeting and they have one interpretation of what this is going to be. So I think maybe somebody from the district is over there at one of their board meetings or at one of their community meetings and makes a presentation. I think they all understand what the problem is. I mean, they've had water running around over there for years. But that's important.
We need to get the cost estimate from Dominic Kelly, and then we can move on that.
We could have a preliminary high level conversation about just trying to, you know, go back and do the right thing with regard to the community, because this was a CIP that was planned back in, what did we talk about, 2021, and so we could talk about that at a meeting, and then come back another time with the actual financing proposals in order to, you know, have it not be a rude just heads up, you know. But I think that's a good suggestion.
Plus they have magnified, they change managers with the wind.
They do, and I think that's been a problem.
And that was a problem the last time. That was part of the reason that the initial paving over there and our plan to do the project got out of sync. Mm-hmm. I think there's been four of them since we went through that process.
Yeah, it's definitely not a job that has a lot of stability. But if they have community meetings, I mean, because our goal is just to get to the residents.
Yeah,
and just lay out kind of in broad terms what the plan is to resolve the problem, and then come back again after we have more details about
If you schedule
the timeline,
they'll come.
Okay.
I mean, post notices, you get a couple of people working for you over there.
Yep.
I mean, Richard would probably do that.
Sure.
Okay, and then I also reach out to Beverly Battaglia, who's their board president.
All right, Granley's Dam safety improvements.
So the project is nearing completion. It's basically, for the most part, done.
there is a slight amount of grading that may need to take place to correct kind of an uneven area and situation. We haven't yet received the invoices and paid, and so that
John Johansson.
That information will be forthcoming when the district receives it. But we've been working hand in hand, and just to give a heads up to that, we were also looking at the possibility of hydro seeding in one of the areas to take it back to how it was prior to the work being done. So that's also still kind of ongoing, but for the infrastructure and the reliability, the work is nearly complete. We helped them a little bit using a piece of equipment to help the process speed it up a little bit. They were inserting the bar screens in, and we were able to help them with that with the backhoe, and it sped the process up quite a bit. So
we're ready to pump. We can pump as soon as the river gets up, so they've just got a little touch-up work left to do at Granley's.
Good.
Any change orders on the top?
Hydro seeding?
I'm so late in the process, I'll turn that.
There was a couple of change orders for the Granleys. Nothing major, just different types of bolts or and stuff, but nothing major. They were pretty close to what they proposed. We actually had to stop them we put a delay on them for 3 weeks because of an unforeseen equestrian center event. So they actually stepped up. One of their questions that they had is because they are going a couple of days past their contract that which was our fault for that, that they not be, make sure that they're not going to get penalized for that. And I told them, I says, I don't think so. They sent me an email if they needed something on letterhead from us stating that, we wouldn't have an issue getting it to them, Deb, since it was our fault for the delay.
Very good. Treatment plant hypochlorite conversion.
So the board awarded the contract. This is just informational. We've been working with council on our end to approve our contract language, make sure it was ready to go. We've sent that off to the contractor. We're waiting for them to sign and return, or if they have any changes. So we're in the process of getting the contract in place, and once the contract is in place, a notice to proceed will quickly follow, and then the work can begin. I've been in conversation with them already on some various aspects of cost savings potentials, and we're working together with them to try to facilitate that. I've also discussed with him that the schedule won't be as tight as originally planned, and so that we'll be able to probably extend it out a little bit, whether that means we need portable solutions to that. That may be something that we do on our end operationally, whether it just be hypochlorite in a tote with a pulsed feeder type pump setup. But we've been working kind of together. They've been in contact with their subs, so their subs are prepared. And they have one RFI, but they were waiting for the contract to really get all of that going in place. So, and that's for both of them where they are in the process. They both went out the same day, so when the next item comes up, you'll kind of hear the read.
Which is the bond. Right now we're waiting on the bond.
Yep.
For both of them.
So we did decide that we require a bond for these. Is there a...
For the water treatment plant, it was already included in the bid, and the board approved the extra 2% at the meeting for the filter bed.
Is there a volume or a price at which...
No.
Above we require a bond and below...
It appears as part of the policy that the board has currently that there isn't a... But that's there are usually where you have specified amounts saying when you exceed a contract of a certain amount. So that may, if that's the committee's interest and they'd like me to, and we pursue maybe some discussion over that, then we could do that and bring it to the board and see if you guys.
I think that's prudent. I believe that it's not really the price of the bond. It's the number of vendors that you can attract when you require a bond versus when you don't. I think you're limiting the amount of contractors that can bid on smaller projects where you're going to get it'd be more economical to get more prices versus only TNT, because they're the only one that has a surety that they'll get them the bond.
So we haven't identified any places that we're going to try to reduce costs that would get into the contract ahead of time?
No.
So how would we do that after the contract? So.
The RFP had some recommendations over vendors, and a lot of it was tied into one vendor. So the tanks and even the chemical pumping equipment was all tied into looking at one vendor. So their cost estimates were driven off that. In conversations with them, we've done some where I elicited a quote from that vendor to see if separating the chemical pumping appurtenances from the tanks would actually lower some of the cost. Most of the cost aspect was driven a lot by the schedule. And so loosening that up, there was also some conversation over material for the shade structure. There was nothing specified in there, and so it was quoted basically as having some type of a structure. And so looking at those options further down the road, I think there's going to be some cost savings based off of that. Changing it all in the contract would have required extra money, because some of that would have had to have gone back to the RFP and then been made available to everybody to make those options and bid on it as a fair quality. And so that's why some of that is going on as the contract is in place, without changing the contract itself.
Okay, and the water treatment plant, I heard you say that we're at the same place as far as waiting for the bonds and contracts to be returned.
Correct.
Lift station 6B.
Informational as well. The last item, there was a panel that needed to be tested by Prodigy Electric. He was on site for that testing. The panel has been approved. They are supposed to be putting that in and wiring up. I don't know if Travis, if you have any more latest news.
They wanted to start doing it next week. I don't know. I haven't. The last I heard, Chase was talking with Sierra, Aqua Sierra. They wanted to get it going quicker. I haven't heard anything, and I haven't heard anything on the email chain on when that's going, because I have requested when they put the bypass in that we run the bypass a day or two before they do the project to make sure that it works and that there's no kinks with it before they actually start taking stuff back, and then, you know, to also run it a couple of days afterwards, you know, I have not seen anything on the email chain. I know Chase asked me who for Eric's email, so I don't know if they've been talking to you separately. So the last I heard is Jeremy approved the panel and was just asking for some name changes on it and a current drawing.
Yeah, I think they have some name changes that are required on the electrical drawings, and that they're in discussion over that, but nothing operationally has come from it.
Nothing, Marty?
Nope.
Basin 5 maintenance.
So we're still in conversations with Solitude to come and do like a preliminary cleaning. We have found, Travis was kind enough to provide us with an old Basin 5 maintenance documentation of what the district would do on our end as part of a cleaning process. It is basically what we're looking at doing now. It's spelled out the dynamics between RMA and the electrical as part of the fountains and what was being used as solar bees and the mixing. It is designed to have an environmental appearance to it as a natural habitat. Also the design of that is to facilitate settling out of solids, so it is part of a treatment process. So if the board's decision eventually is to change that, the way that it works, and try to make it a dry basin, there would probably be cost to that, because treatment would be necessary for that water before it ever enters another waterway. It's designed to let basically like pesticides and fertilizers settle into that area, and that's why it's at about a 20-foot depth. I think trying to keep the surface clean, if that's more the board's direction, we can keep moving on that and look at different type of mixing where we have fountain and agitation, and also probably because of the maintenance document, they had to skim that water about once or twice a year, and that may be something that we need to go back and begin doing.
Is there a big cost?
To skimming it, it wasn't a huge cost. What Solitude was projecting, I think the larger cost, of course, is going to be if we decide to change the mixers that are in there and purchase fountains, then we would have that cost. But I think the cleaning cost was less than...
So the lady, our new rep, I spoke with her through text 3 days ago. She said the cost estimate that they gave us last time is going to be pretty much the same. The only thing that cost estimate included them looking at the fountains and potentially repairing them, which those are not repairable. So she's waiting to hear back the cost of just bringing in two new fountains. But she said the other stuff, the cost is still pretty much the same for the initial cleaning, the skimming, making it look pretty, stuff like that.
Is that like what happened to Clementia, the paddle?
A harvester?
They have a little harvester that they can bring in to clean that up. And then I think they also quoted if they brought in not a backhoe, but a...
like a mini excavator?
Thank you, an excavator. I'd have to relook at the quote.
And I think they had even some treatment.
Yeah, and they also had some chemical for like the duckweed, the primrose, and stuff like that. And as we all know, you can't really ever get rid of duckweed, but you can minimize it. And I think getting rid of the primrose will help quite a bit. And then fountains, because the aerators at the bottom have taken care of that odor thing. The main odor component is just the fountains will take care, and the skimming will take care of the aesthetic portion of it.
Okay. Does this need to go to the board for any reason? This is just an informational item.
We're still waiting on the quote from Solitude for the fountains.
Right. Very good. Thank you for that.
Basin 5, so that's it.
Basin 5. Any further comments from the public?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, just...
can you hand him that? I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Needs to be recorded.
I'll just set it right here. You're fine. Okay.
Okay.
All
right. Yeah. Are you going to continue to publish this report now? This is your monthly utility report where you show the water levels of the reservoirs and things like that.
That's in the board meeting. That's in the board packet, not the...
Oh, well, it used to come to this committee, but it doesn't come to this committee anymore, huh?
Let me see it. I don't think it's for this committee.
Well, that's where I got this one the last time. So it's called the utilities report. It just basically shows all the reservoirs and what their
that's
passes are. I don't care where it's at, but it is going to come out. So there is going to be one that's going to show the November levels.
Every board meeting.
Okay. All right. Okay. Great. That's all.
Thank you.
Any director and staff comments? Staff? No? Done? Marty?
Nope.
Anything? I don't have anything, so
okay.
We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
And the time is 9:09.